Welcome to Flagler in Focus, the podcast that brings you the stories, services, and people shaping life here in Flagler County. I'm your host, Karen Callahan, and in each episode, we take a closer look at what's happening behind the scenes in our community. And today, we have with us Seth Cribben from our UAS program, our drone program here in Flagler County. So, hello, Seth.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining the podcast. So let's start with you introducing yourself to the people listening.
I'm Seth Cribben. I'm a recent graduate from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University with a degree in unmanned aircraft systems.
Oh, you actually have a degree in it.
I do. Yeah, it's new.
Holy.
It's exciting. It has definitely helped me here, that's for sure, especially with the networking side of things. So I do music stuff as well on the side. I'm kind of hoping that they both take off. So. That's kind of why we're here.
Nice that they both take off. So did you always want, was this something that you always foresaw in your future? Did you want to be a pilot or a drone pilot when you were younger?
Nope, not even a little bit, actually. I was doing the sports thing. I thought I was going to end up going to school for football. I was talking to a few universities to do that. And then I got the opportunity to tour Embry-Riddle for track and field, which I never would have thought that I would do. And I took the tour and I realized that maybe I could get a good education as well. So,
oh, fun.
Yeah, it kind of sold me on the tour. I mean, the whole school looks like a spaceship. It's pretty cool.
It does. And we have a lot of graduates here, graduates from Embry-Riddle here in Flagler County. So why don't you give us a quick background about our UAS program and what UAS stands for?
Yeah, UAS is Unmanned Aircraft Systems, which is basically just drones. It's countywide. What we do is we ensure public safety with drones, with UAS. And there's a copious amount of applications to do so. And in every flight, a tax dollar is saved, you know, an X amount of tax dollars is saved. And that's our goal, is to save tax dollars from any and all contracts or contractors that could be used for these kind of applications. And it kind of takes people out of harm's way.
It's expensive to contract out drones.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, some of the flights that we do, I don't know if this is allowed to be spoken on per se, but one of the operations that we do can be contracted out for upwards of $50,000 to $75,000 per operation and post processing data, and we do that seasonally.
That's
off
insane.
Of a salary, which literally pays for myself and our other pilot salary in about 1.5 flights.
And you do more than 1.5 flights.
Maybe not that part. Yeah, and we do, and we see, and we fly that flight, that operation seasonally.
Mm-hmm. What type of missions or projects do we typically fly here in the county?
So that's kind of a tough question to answer, because we're currently on an incentive to broaden that spectrum of operations. But mm-hmm. currently, what we actively have going on are coastline flights, gathering data to show how much sand has been displaced pre and post storm, so that we can renourish those. Those beaches are our big pull here in Flagler County, mm-hmm. our gorgeous beaches. We look for invasive species and plants in our parks, mm-hmm. using infrared and other geospatial mapping tools. I don't want to get into the technicalities there, but mm-hmm. So that's kind of like our current incentive. And my plan actively is to really blossom and come into fruition that a UAS team, a drone team, can really be mm-hmm. in a county. And that comes from anything to surveying every building annually, biannually, footage for teams like yourself, the mm-hmm. communications and tourism teams. Like, there's a bajillion applications. Every meeting that I've had with managers and department heads, they've brought in applications that I didn't even think of, and I have a degree in the subject. Mm-hmm. So there's so many places and areas that we could, you know, save tax dollars and enforce public safety with UAS.
Is bajillion a real number?
I hope so.
Is it really?
Is it actually?
I don't know. I was confused once when one of my children said that Googleplex was a real number, and apparently it is. So, you know what? Far be it from me to question your math. So, all right. So, do drones also help support our emergency response team or public safety?
Oh, yeah. our police department here has their own team currently, and they do their own thing. I can't really speak on that because I don't know exactly how their operations work, but I know that's, you know, one thing that they have.
But our fire rescue, do we assist? Yeah. Okay.
What fire do we rescue, we assist with them. Controlled burns to actual wildfires to everything and everything, anything and everything that fire rescue does. We're currently developing out their team because, long story short, a particular product, Chinese manufacturer, got banned, and we had kind of had to restart our drone program, which got a lot of PR last year and the year before, but it was necessary unless, you know, the team would kind of fall out. But the same thing happened with fire rescue. So we're currently developing out their team, assisting them with everything they have. But yeah, so we hold hands.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned beach nourishment. So what specifically are you able to do to monitor our beaches?
Oh, geez, there's a lot. The big hitter, the one that I mentioned previously, with that could be upwards of $50,000 to $75,000 per flight. Mm-hmm. It's called LIDAR. I cannot think of the exact abbreviation name now. What it does is it shoots hundreds of thousands of laser points a second, and what it does is it collects a point cloud of all the points that these lasers hit. And what you can do is you can pull that and overlay it on maps, so you can get a 3D overlay and maneuver that space accordingly. But how we hand it to the engineers and what they do is they use it to measure the volumes of sand displaced.
Oh.
Which is really awesome because it saves, I'll use copious amounts of dollars. But also, what was happening before, to my knowledge, is that the state of Florida and other coastal states were buying sand elsewhere to replace their beaches, but that sand isn't indigenous, which could cause damage and, you know, potentially even kill off species of indigenous whatever, you know, X, Y, and Z, from plants to, you know, dunes to turtles. Messes everything up. So that's what we measure, and then the Army Corps of Engineers or whomever can go back off the coast and dredge that sand back, and it's our sand.
Then it's our sand.
Yep.
Yeah, so LIDAR stands for light detection and ranging.
That was my first guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just fact checking that. Method for determining ranges by targeting an object or surface with a laser.
Yep.
Bajillion is not a real number. This is live fact checking, people. Live fact checking. Okay. Can you walk us through a recent mission that made a big impact?
I guess I'll not include what we just did for the coastal engineering team because that's pretty much what we just described. Mm-hmm. But one that we just completed would be, we flew over at Princess Place and we're gathering what is called an orthomosaic. So an orthomosaic is something that you can gather in one flight. And what it does is you operate and you set standards on a payload system, which is basically just a camera. And what you can do is you overlay and you stitch photos. So what the drone will do is it'll go and it'll stitch photos together. And it'll geotag those photos, so you can overlay it on a map after, and basically you get pristine footage of an area, and you can overlay it on a map, and it's very easily accessible to whoever needs to access that data after. So what we're doing currently is looking for feral hog bedding, and also a 2-in-1 mission for Brazilian pepper tree, which is an invasive species. That apparently grows very quickly. I'm not super familiar with the species itself, but I know land management is dealing with that.
Yes, that's a huge one for land management. Got to get those Brazilian peppers out.
Yep.
Out of our parks. So yeah, I'm reading here survey. So it doing that method, it says you're able to correct for any distortions in the visuals and make a clean, seamless image.
It is really cool, and it is super, super, super end-user friendly. So we post-process all the data ourselves. So one misconception that we get as a UAS team, it's like, oh, well, anyone, you don't even need a high school diploma to get your drone license to go fly. where it gets really technical with what we do in county is that we post-process all of the data so that we can, when we hand over data to whomever in-house, whatever department, they can maneuver it. And because if not, that costs more money and or they wouldn't know what to do with it with just raw data. So we do that in-house as well, which, again, saves a lot of money because that's half a contract right there is post-processing.
Well, you touched upon the training aspect of it. So what type of training or certifications are required to fly for the county?
A 107 license is a basically just commercial drone license. So you can fly, you know, pretty self-explanatory, a drone commercially. Outside of that, to fly for the county, I mean, off of technicality, that's pretty much it. We have extra certifications and waivers, if you would like me to dive into that.
Yeah. But, okay. Why don't you dive into that?
So my predecessor, he did amazing things for the county. He got a beyond visual line of sight waiver, which I'll dive into in a second, and a certificate of authorization. So our certificate of authorization allows us to fly countywide. I think it gives us wiggle room with, I think, don't fact check me here, but I think it's a mile off the coast of the county itself.
I think you're right. That does sound familiar.
It's something similar. I know we have a little bit of wiggle room outside of the actual county borders. But so our certificate doesn't sound like much. Like, we can fly anywhere in the county anyways, but it actually allows us to fly within the confinements of controlled airspace. And we have KFIN, which is our airport. I don't know the actual name because I'm kind of new to the county.
It's the Flagler Executive Airport.
Okay. So we have authorization to operate within their controlled airspace. I can get into airspace, but airspace is quite tricky. Basically, there is a radius around the airport. Actively here, it's class Delta, which is kind of irrelevant, but it's a shelf. So it's from the ground up to, I believe, 1,500 feet. And any other drone operator can't operate in that airspace. And if they do, they're confined to a certain above ground level altitude. And we have a certificate to notify them who, what, when, where, and why. And then we have the green light. Technically, someone else could do that as well. But to get that waived or accepted would take a few days or just a lot, you know, more time to process. So that's that certificate. Very exciting stuff. It's really cool. We use it with our fire rescue team. It's very useful. Now, for the beyond visual line of sight waiver, it gets a little intricate. Basically, one of the main rules of this 107 commercial drone license is that you cannot fly beyond your visual line of sight. That does not mean through the camera. That does not mean with assistance of others. You can have a visual observer, but it's beyond the pilot's visual line of sight. And you cannot daisy chain visual observers, which is why that's the whole rule in itself. This waiver allows us to fly beyond visual line of sight, which allows us to do these coastline flights. We can do 15 plus miles of coastline, you know, battery life permitted, to do so. This waiver is not as easy as it may sound. It is an 89 page document that has a lot of if ands because it is waiving a rule. We have to follow many other rules to waive the one rule. That's how the FAA works. And I'm cool with it because we're operating in national airspace. And if we infringe on that, that is federal. And I don't want to break rules federally. So, you know, we abide by the rules. But there's a lot that goes into the beyond visual line of sight waiver. But it is super, super, super useful. And it, again, allows us to save so much money from these contracts. Because if we didn't have it, we'd still probably have to contract some portions of, you know, said coastal operations, you know, and that's just one application that we keep bringing back up, but there's so many others.
So walk me through this. When you're doing one of these beyond visual line of sight productions, how many people does it usually take and what does everybody do?
Technically, we could technically do it with two people. Mm-hmm. We have to start at least 3 days in advance. We have to call not only the tower, that's more so a day of kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So Flagler International, our executive, excuse me. We have to call them. And then we also have to call an FAA operator to create a NOTAM, we're also known as a DROTM because we do drones. Mm-hmm. Kind of a funny play on words there, mm-hmm. which is just a notice to airmen. So when other manned pilots or crewed pilots, I should say, are operating in national airspace, they have a notice on their, what do they call it? Field maps, if you will. Their, oh geez, what's the word? Anyways, their airspace mm-hmm. is notified. That will be operating. So we have to file that 72 to 24 hours in advance. So that's typically when we start. We also have to go through and mark on, we typically use Google Earth Pro because it's pretty end user friendly. Mm-hmm. You go in and you can place a point and you can show a view shed. So it shows how much that person can actually view on the ground from that point. It's really cool. And we have to be able to overlay basically what anyone and everyone in the operation can see. So we like to have a few operators out as quote unquote visual observers. That's the technical term for it. Mm-hmm. And they help us out. Where it gets really dicey is that there's two ways that we can operate on the waiver, and that is shielded and unshielded. And shielded and unshielded is kind of a gray area. There's a few different definitions that the FAA has provided. Basically what it means, think of it as like flying urban, mm-hmm. flying through a city. It's mm-hmm. shielded. There's buildings everywhere. If you operate within, let's just call it 200 feet of a building, mm-hmm. it's shielded because let's say something bad happens with your vehicle, it'll hit a building. Mm. I'm pretty sure that's the mm-hmm. very minimalistic gist of what shielded operations is.
Okay.
Basically, so you don't want a drone flying off into national airspace because you don't want the biggest, baddest issue is something hits a manned mm-hmm. or a crewed operation in the air. That's mm-hmm. like worst case scenario ever of all time. So there's mm-hmm. different parameters between shielded and unshielded. Unshielded is more typical mm-hmm. and there's a lot more parameters for that. And if you can somehow make it shielded, in other words, flying closer to structures, mm-hmm. that's ideal. So there's a lot that goes into that. We have to decide that. And from there, there's, you know, X, Y, and Z goes into a shielded operation and X, Y, and Z goes into, you know, a non-shielded operation. Does that kind of answer your question? There's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it. Like, it is a full week prep to go into one of these operations.
Yeah, I think that's what I was getting at. So it's more than just you.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely two, preferably more. And there's a lot of planning.
Yes. Yeah. Because not only is there a pilot operating, but there's someone who has to operate the payload system, which mm-hmm. is like you're monitoring and making sure everything's getting, you're getting your data correctly live streamed.
Yeah. Well, you touched upon this earlier. Where do you see our program going in the next few years?
Oh, my gosh. I think that this program could be huge. Mm-hmm. I'm very biased. I went to university for the subject.
Yes.
I think that within 3 years, there could be another pilot. And I think in 5 to 10 years, I think there could be a fully operating department. Like there already is. There's mm-hmm. just two of us. But my current incentive now is to hit every department head and or manager to show what we can do, to show the UAS team capabilities, to go forth and ask them what they think that could be applicable to them. And we've already gotten huge lists. I really think that after proving ROI, proving return of investment, thank you. After proving ROI, return on investment, right? I think very easily, and again, I know I'm biased, but I think alone, myself or our other pilot, Ramon, could prove six figures, like well into six figures
of cost savings.
Like I'm talking first or second year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you got to think like how many properties does the county own alone? How many structures, like including park structures and everything else? That's just on an annual and or biannual basis. That's someone's job themselves. Mm-hmm. And that would totally prove a surplus, a net surplus on saved tax dollars if it were to be contracted out. So I think this team could be absolutely huge.
So like not only just beach monitoring, what like you talked about like vegetation mapping. Do we currently do floodplain analysis?
Not yet, but I know for a fact we can, and that's something we talked about with the engineering team and the EOC, Emergency Operating Center Management.
Yep. I'm sure, yeah, before and after storms, yep. You guys are going to be huge.
There's
you are
so
huge.
Many things. Mm-hmm. So many applications. Like I said, even having an education in the subject, I went in and I asked these department heads and managers what they think we could do, and they were spitting things back out to me that I would never even thought of myself.
I still want you to find like relics or ancient ruins under Princess Place or out west. I would love that.
We can.
Are you going to get Flagler County on the History Channel? Like instead of Curse of like Oak Island, it'll be like, wowza, look what we found in Flagler County. That would be the name of the show. I'm going to copyright it right now. But anyway, what do you think? What can we find?
I think we can find anything and everything that's been left. I think we can find it all. We don't have anything.
The Fountain of Youth. Yes. I bet you we'll find the Fountain of Youth.
Oh, yeah. Here in Flagler County.
Yeah. The mystery of Ponce de Leon.
Yeah.
No, for real. So have you done anything out in the West, or is there something you anticipate to do?
Oh, yeah. I am fully planning on attacking it's a pretty huge area for those unfamiliar. It is massive. I was looking, I was like, oh, maybe we can do one or two flights and we'll get it done. Mm-hmm. No way, Jose. There, it is huge. That's going to be like, I don't know, we're going to have to like plot out. I've never done an operational area that big, so we're going to have to plot out kind of like how to start and where to attack it. But oh my gosh, would that be the coolest project ever? And the History Channel will be knocking.
Oh my God. Well, this is a theme with me. I ask all my guests this, and it always ends up with me asking about the skunk ape. Because if you're already looking for feral hogs, imagine if you find the Florida skunk ape. Like, that would be baller. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm thinking of all the ways that we could just have a fun news cycle. It'd be so great.
We'll find a lot. I don't know about the Florida skunk ape, but we'll find something.
Anyway,
because one thing that we didn't mention before is that the LIDAR can penetrate a canopy, so we can find structures under vegetation.
That's insane.
It is pretty cool.
No, because I was reading about it the other day, even in the Amazon rainforest, that you know people with the LIDAR technology are discovering ancient civilizations where they didn't even realize would exist. They thought the canopy was always there. It's just so crazy how, you know, the world evolves that way. Nature evolves.
It is really cool. I wish everyone has been inquiring about a ground penetrating LIDAR, but that is quite expensive.
Yeah.
So maybe not for the next few years.
Yeah, but maybe one can wish.
Yes, one can wish. Exactly.
All right. If you could attach any harmless gadget to your drone just for fun, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. That's a dangerous question.
No, it's not dangerous. It's harmless. Okay. I have it written down here in my notes. Harmless on a drone.
Okay, so they already do tasers, and I think that's fun and funny. Maybe not for those on the other side of the table.
No!
I think that's funny.
That's not harmless.
Okay. I don't know. My mind goes to, like, the funny things that you would do with your friends, not necessarily. All right, let me think. They have speakers. I think that's really cool. They have speakers, and that's actually for first responder applications. Mm-hmm. To disperse a crowd, like mainly crowd management and or missing persons.
So maybe a Darth Vader voice on your drone.
Yeah, we've done it. I've tested stuff like that. And
oh,
it's
really?
Really funny. We were playing what's that new song? Pink Pony Club.
Oh dear.
We were testing. I was working out in San Francisco and Silicon Valley for the American manufacturing distributor, actually, that RPD uses, which is really cool.
Oh, fun.
And we were testing that out, and they actually have those systems now, which is cool, because I was there when it wasn't released yet. But that was a fun day, I'm not going to lie.
All right. What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen while flying a drone?
Oof.
You've got to see something weird.
Yeah. nothing that like you wouldn't really expect. I've gotten some middle fingers. That's pretty typical. I don't know if that can
be
said.
That's not nice.
So sorry, but people,
Flagler County, you know better.
People just assume the worst, and it's sad because sometimes, you know, people operate these drones with malintent, and it kind of stinks because it makes, you know, one rotten apple kind of makes the whole batch look
that
bad.
That part.
But other than that, nothing too crazy. I've seen neighbors like fighting. That was cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was back home in Tampa. That was fun.
Yeah. All right. If you could fly a drone anywhere around in the world, no restrictions, where would it be?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I might have like two or three.
Okay.
Number one would be Area 51.
Yes.
For sure. I want to see some cool stuff.
Oh, fun. All right.
And I want to say, where's the other place out there that do really cool military testing? Is it Arizona?
Meteor Crater? I don't know.
That would be cool. There's one in Las Vegas. Las Vegas has a lot of military stuff going on. Ooh. I just want to see cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd want to go to Egypt. They're saying how all those pyramids... Yeah, well, think about it. Like, they're saying now that all those pyramids are connected underground with, like, crazy tunnels and spiraling infrastructure. I think Egypt would be fun. Anywhere where there's like ancient,
right?
Ooh, like in Greece, like the Temple of Apollo and the Oracle of Delphi. Like,
what
if there's like alien stuff underneath?
There's gotta be
because aliens. It's aliens.
I have a funny bit about that actually.
What?
So there was a Reddit leak. Someone had hacked in because there's a lot of turmoil right now in my industry about the Chinese drones being in America and critical infrastructure being you know,
compromised,
mapped out and stuff with these drones, and like, oh, everyone has this data. So I think, I don't know, it was just some whistleblower. I don't know. I don't think it ever came out, but they actually released, like, they coded in and hacked in, and they released a whole bunch of stuff from the Chinese drones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite hysterical. I'm not gonna lie, like, you know how people are like, hey, watch out what you do with your phones, there's an electronic footprint. It was the same thing with the drones.
Oh,
it was just
dear.
Hysterical, funny, stupid things. But then there's, you know, there's some American things or whatever that people are concerned about, oh, critical infrastructure. But then it was the same thing for the Chinese. So it was like, okay, so if one person has the back door into this code, like, literally it showed like huge secret military bases in China.
Oh, wow.
It was like, we're super concerned about flying, you know, Joe Schmo radio tower. It's like, come on. Like, they're using it too.
Yeah.
You know? So it was just kind of, I don't know, nipped it in the bud.
I'm
like,
sure,
if it's a problem for us, it's a problem for everybody. So who cares?
All right. Do you have now I think the answer to this might be Pink Pony Club. What's your pilot anthem?
Oh my gosh.
Is it Pink Pony Club?
I think it might be. I think it might be because my buddies out in my buddies I made on the test team in San Francisco, like, that was like the song that came out then, and they put me onto it. Now it's kind of like an ode to them almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Which superhero would make the best drone pilot, and why is it obviously Iron Man?
Oh, fair. My first thought was Batman, but Iron Man is definitely...
Oh, Batman. No.
Well, he's got the gadgets too, so Iron Man, I feel like, has more gadgets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're the equivalent, right? It's the DC versus Marvel,
right.
So...
You said outside of Batman?
Yeah, outside of Batman / Iron Man.
I don't know. Probably, who's the dude with the wings that's like now Captain America? Falcon?
Oh.
He does gadgets and stuff.
Is he gadget? Do-do-do-do-do, Inspector Gadget. Well, Seth, not only are you a drone pilot, you also do something else in your spare time, and I wanted to let you talk about that real quick.
Yeah, I like play guitar and stuff.
Yeah, he just plays guitar, you know. He's just that's all he does. So recently you had a concert.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was really cool. It went by in a blink of an eye. I got to meet some very cool people, some really good relations, and I was on such a high that coming back here to a 9-to-5 was brutal.
It was brutal,
but it was so worth it. It was so worth the experience.
Awesome. And if people wanted to listen to your music, where can they listen to it?
Right now? Nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Nowhere. Oh.
Nowhere. But I do have a song right now that is like the last draft. The final will be, I think, edited Saturday. So the only reason it's not out now, mm-hmm. I had full intention on releasing before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now is my first time owning an LLC
yeah.
and putting out music, and copyright through the state takes like a month and a half.
Yeah, so regulations.
Yep, exactly. So I have about a little bit over half a month before I release for the first time, and I cannot wait.
I'll tell you what we'll do in the communications department is do a spotlight, and we will link to your song. How about mm-hmm. that? We'll put it on social for everybody who wants to listen to stuff.
Hooray, that'd be cool. That would be really cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for visiting with us to talk about all these wonderful things that your program's doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This is really cool.
Yeah, super fun. All right, everybody, that's it for this episode of Flagler in Focus. Until next time.